Morning and welcome. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. It's time to start our worship service. Grab a redback hymnal, greenback hymnal, page 286. 286, verse 1 and 3. 286. Turn over to 404. 404. At the top of the page.
Good morning, everybody. How are y'all today? Beautiful day, right? Good day to worship the Lord, and I hope that's what we'll do today in this service. And I just pray that we'll be about God's business in this service today. We have this day that the Lord hath made for us, and I just pray that we'll be about God's business in such a way that we can just enjoy the presence of God today. I'm going to give you a quick report on the association. This past 2 days, the Wiseman Association was here, was at Gladys Missionary Baptist Church. I said here, But we hosted that last year, and we are glad to have the opportunity to be go to it this weekend. And it was a privilege to do, but next year's association will be up at New Zion. That'll be up at the Baxter area is where that'll be at. But let's pray that it'll be a blessing to everybody. Now, the two things that I really want to mention about the association is two things that are coming up here in the near future for the association. They had some excess of money, I guess you could say, in their account, and which is a good thing, especially when they use it in the way for the Lord. They have decided to send a $2,000 donation to the Belize work, and I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that they're doing that. That'll help out that work down there. And I know that here in the next few months, they are planning on building a road, basically from the main road over to the church house itself. Now, what Brother Monty has told me about that is that it is a muddy slope down the hill and then back up the hill. And during the rainy season, it's very dangerous to walk on that, especially if you've got somebody that's got leg problems, like me, or I think Brother Monty has his problems, so does Sister Michelle. So that's in the plans, but they also want to dig a well. The Lord is providing for them, and that's what this is about. I want you to see, we talked about the fact that they needed water down there in Belize. You might say, well, they got a river. Yeah, they got the river, and they've also got a well right there in the community that is basically very toxic. We'll say it that way. It's got a lot of stuff in it it don't need, and the people are staying sick because of it. So God's providing, and I'm thankful for the association doing that. The other thing is, and I want our young people to pay attention to this, the association is interested in you as young people. And what they are moving to do is they're going to try to have a youth gathering, I guess is what I'll say. But it's supposed to be a good time for our young people to get them interested in meeting each other. And it's going to be for the churches of the association to bring their young people in there. Now, I do not have any details about it yet. They've set aside money to have a good time for y'all. So that's coming up sometime this coming year. Now, there's a couple of the different brethren that are going to be on that part and getting it together. I'm thankful for them doing that. But that's something for our young people to look forward to. And when I say our young people, yeah, the little ones, there'll be something there for them. But there'll be something for you teenagers. And you might say, well, I don't want to go do something like that. Give it a try. You might just like it. You might have a good time. So keep that in mind. We'll let you know when that comes up. But these are good things for us to talk about. We need to get our young people involved. They need to be a part of this church and the associations and that work. I want you to see that it's a good thing and that they care for you. So give it a try when that comes up. We'll be letting you know about that. But with that being said, I'm not going any further than that. I want you to be prayerful for that association, the one meeting as far as the good fellowship that we have. I want you to be prayerful for that to come up next year. I've got a little part to play in it next year. So keep me in mind for this. I've never done this before, so y'all be prayerful for me. With that being said, we want to get about our service today. And the next thing that we need to do is to have our children's church. Brother Sam, if you would.
All right, let's hustle up this side right over here. Wake up, wake up. Let's go, let's go, let's go. We are burning daylight. All right. Y'all are looking real good. Man, I think I missed the memo on wear something blue. Look at all this blue up here. I like it. I like it. Y'all are a good-looking bunch. I know you're busy. I've checked your schedule, but we're going to make this as short as possible, okay? And I know sometimes maybe you get weary of hearing serious stuff because it's serious what we're talking about, okay? Everybody understand that? It's serious? So I'll try to start doing something a little bit more lighthearted so you can remember it more. But Today I want to talk to you about kind of two things, all right? There's a verse on my mind, and it's part of the verse of Acts chapter 4, verse 12. A fellow by the name of Peter said that. Y'all heard of Peter? Peter, right? He was an apostle. He said, "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Okay? And he said that to a people who were asking why he was doing that. And what he meant was, and the topic of this little discussion is this right here. It's shortcuts and substitutes, okay? And he was just telling them there's no shortcut to being saved and there's no substitute, all right? What's a substitute? Can anybody tell me what is a substitute? If you substitute, I'll point to you since you've raised your hand. Yes? Something is not permanent. Okay, a stand-in. Yes? Did you have something? All right, all of you are in school, right? Yes, go ahead. Something in place of. That's it. Very good answers, both of you. Have any of you ever had like a substitute teacher? You know what that is, right? So you understand that. Maybe your regular teacher was doing something else, so you brought in another person. All right. So we know what a substitute is. Sometimes your mom's might be cooking, and it calls for something, and she doesn't have it, but she substitutes something else, right? And it takes the place of, and it does the job. What's a shortcut? Ben, what's a shortcut? A shorter way. That's right. An alternate way. You are very smart. You're the smartest man alive. Very good. That's right. So make it a shortcut. And there's shortcuts, you know, if we might want to go to, say I want to drive to Nashville, you know. Maybe the shortcut might be the shortest way is the interstate. But maybe there's a shortcut and I find another way. So we understand that there's alternates for various things. But when you're talking about our souls, there's no substitute for salvation. There's no substitute, or shortcuts to get it. Y'all remember the ark? What was the ark? Who built the ark? Somebody tell me. Yes. Noah. Wow. Way to go, Sarah. And he put a door in it, right? Do you think the groundhog came off the ground and crawled in the door? He sure did. Everybody did. What did the eagle do? When the eagle came out of the sky, he went where? In the door. There was only one door. There was no alternate door. There was no shortcut. And my fear for y'all is that y'all don't get in your minds that there's substitutes or shortcuts about your soul. And y'all may be going to other places, visit other churches that teach differently than us. And my fear is that you might be introduced to something that people might think it's a shortcut. We do baptism here, right? Some people might want to say, well, that's part of it. That's a substitute. No, it's not part of it. You know, you might say, somebody might say, well, do good. That'll help you get saved. No, there's no substitute for that. There's no substitute for salvation. Okay, so my thought for you is that remember what Peter said. There's no other name. And so it's got to be Jesus. And I say this all the time, and you've heard me say it. It's Jesus, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. No shortcut, okay? And when y'all come to the point where you feel in your heart, you feel that tugging, you know, and there's no substitute for the Spirit either, okay? And there's no, and I'll be through in just a minute. There's no need for somebody telling you that you're lost or to tell you that you're saved or that you need to pray more. The Lord is going to do that. There's no substitute for the Spirit, okay? So don't let anybody deceive you, but listen to Jesus. And he'll tell you right in here, and you'll know. Okay? And so that's my talk on this. There's no substitute and no shortcuts. It's all Jesus. So if you'll stand, we'll repeat this verse, and next time I'll have something a little bit more different for you. It won't be so serious. But repeat after me, okay? Just repeat this. For there is none other name.
Given among men.
Under heaven,
whereby we must be saved.
Amen. Very good. Thank y'all. Good job, Ben. Good job.
Very good lesson for our kids. And see if any of the adults was paying attention. How'd the groundhog get into the ark? Through the door. Okay. I just want to make sure the adults was paying attention too. So it's a good lesson for us today. Appreciate Brother Sam on that. We're glad that each and every one of you here today We appreciate our visitors coming out for the day, and just thankful that everybody has come out. I know several have had sickness. We've got some out with sickness now, the matter of fact, and I'm just going to just say it this way. I know that we've come through the pandemic period, and yeah, it's still around, so always be careful with your health is what I would say. Let's be careful. Now they're talking about flu and this and that. Make sure you're careful with your health is what I want you to do. And let's be prayerful one for another. Somebody have anything on your heart before we get any farther into our service? We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a minute or so. And we'll start out with the reading of our prayer request this morning. Brother Rowan, who's reading? Landon's reading for us this morning.
Good morning. This week's birthdays are Yvette Griffith, Lauren Higgs, Sarah Beth Miller, Stephanie McGoldrick. This week's anniversaries are Stuart and Pauline Spicer. Prayer requests are remember Brother Massey, pray for Sister Cheryl's father, remember Brother Slicks and Sister Barbara, pray for the Millers and all their sickness, pray for Brother Tanner's friend, pray for the service today and especially the lost.
Don't that young man look slick? He looked good today. Appreciate him dressing up like that. He sets a good example for me, doesn't he? Anybody else got another prayer request before we go any further in service?
Mm-hmm.
And to give a little more of a detail, that's one of Brother Tanner's friends. And remember him and his friends on this. It's a hard thing when anybody loses a loved one. But when it's somebody close to you, friend, whatever, it's also hard. So do remember them. He also made mention of something, and I want you to remember him and his friends. He's lost six friends. He didn't say how long, but he's already lost six of his friends and him just 22 year old. And the only thing I can kind of liken that to is in my lifetime, and it wasn't so much for me, but when my brother was killed in 1967, over that next year or year and a half, that high school had six kids die out of it. In a year and a half's time. And I talked to some of my brother's friends from times to times, and they remember those things. And it's a great burden. So let's be there for these friends. You may not know them, but you can pray for them. You can pat ones like Brother Tanner and his girlfriend. You can pat them on the back and say, we're thinking about you. You know somebody else has lost loved ones. You can go to them, tap them on the shoulder. We're thinking about you. You can give them a phone call. Brother Sonny gave us a good message this morning in our prayer request about calling Brother Massey and talking to him. He's suffering a lot. You know, we said pray for him. And anytime somebody loses a loved one, everybody deals with it in different ways. But we need to be there for them, whether it's in prayer or by word, or just a phone call, or a card, or whatever. I realize we don't do mail as much anymore, but we can do emails and texts and just let them know that we're thinking about them. I'll get off my box. Somebody else have something on your heart. Yes.
God knows each and every one of them. He knows each situation.
Yes, he does.
Ask us as a church to remember the request.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Tom. Appreciate that. There were several requests last night, and let's do remember them. Somebody else. I will say this. You missed a good singing last night if you were not here. It was a blessing. Brother Jonathan done a good job. Seemed to be a good spirit among us. And let's just pray that Brother Jonathan, I think, singing up Lafayette today, so remember him up there. He is a man that's been saved according to his testimony, and I believe his testimony. Don't get me wrong about that. But he is a good young man that he can sing like he does and share the gospel. So please remember him that he'll always do the old-timey way is what I'll say. Pray that he'll always carry out the right way. Somebody else. Would like to say we appreciate each and every one being here today. Any other prayer requests? We ask you all to be prayerful for this service. Make sure you pray for me. Pray that the Lord will help me to preach that you need. Maybe it's just one particular person, but it'll be toward every one of us. But it may be for every one of you to hear. It might be for me to hear. So let's keep that in our minds today. Especially let's remember our lost ones that comes in and out of this church building. Whether they're here today or not, make sure you pray for them. The Lord can touch them even if they're not here. Having to pray for our members that are not here.
Brother Hackett, I don't want to extend the preliminaries. But
go ahead.
Please pray for Kendra Smith.
Lord help.
They are hurting badly right now.
Yeah.
And John just sent me a message just now and said that Josh was gone back to bed now and he's too sick to even play a video game.
Lord help.
So Kendra has not worked now for quite a while. She's no better. When we leave work, I'm going to go try to get her into a doctor. But please pray for them.
Lord help. Lord help. Let's do remember Sister Kendra and the kids and Brother John in our prayers. Somebody else. Let's all be prayerful. Let's all ask the Lord to help us in this service today. Let's ask the Lord to help us to be humble. When I say us, I mean all of us. Humble enough to do whatever God lays on our hearts today. Anybody else got a prayer request? As I always say, let's be about the Lord's business and let's be prayerful for this service today. While we pray, everybody pray.
Father, we pray that you can, Father, each and every one that's here today, dear God, may put the things of the world aside for a little while, dear God. If nothing else, just be thankful, dear God, for your Son. And Heavenly Father, we can be thankful that your Son died for our sins. And Heavenly Father, that we can just be blessed in knowing that you are saved. Heavenly Father, God, I look upon them and I think, oh Lord, how much more time do they have, God? And I just thank you, dear God, that you allowed me to be born into your family. But Lord, I want to
your word, dear God. And Lord, we know those things, dear God, we need them to get back. But Heavenly Father, we know your spirit will help us, Lord. I've witnessed it so many times, dear Lord. When it didn't seem like we had enough, that it went, Father, enough, dear God. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for the blessings that you bestow on us each and every day. Dear God, I pray that you would bless the church members, dear Lord, that are sick and ailing, dear God. I thank you for the Lord, for the ones that even though they were not as well as they once were, they're still here today, dear God. I thank you for them, dear Lord. I thank you for the ones that, Heavenly Father, that are steadfast to come into your house, dear God. Whether it be today or tonight or some other night, dear Lord, and that they serve you, dear God, with everything that they have. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for the blessings of watching people serve this church building, dear Lord, that they clean, that they pick up, that Heavenly Father, that they water the things, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for all these sweet blessings, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen each and every one that is in this building today, dear God. May your spirit just give them a great, great blessing today, dear Lord. We talk about it so many times, remembering people that came in praising your name. Lord, we talk about the testimonies that we've seen, the prayers that have been prayed, dear Lord, over time, dear God, and how it was such a blessing in those days, dear Lord. And Lord, we long for those things once again, dear Lord. That, Lord, that it might witness to these that are unsaved. That, Lord, that it might witness to the people of this community, dear God, your goodness and your mercies, Heavenly Father. Lord, remember all these requests that's been made today, dear God. May each and every one of them be answered within thy will. Lord, remember these families that's lost loved ones. Lord, help them, dear Lord, in these times. Dear God, we thank you, dear Lord, for saving our soul once again. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we ask that you help us today, Lord, to bring this service to the point that you want it to, dear God, that your name might be lifted up today above all things, Heavenly Father. For it's in thy Holy Son's name we do pray. Amen.
Receive our offering. Won't you stand? Thank you. You may be seated. We'll sing a few more songs this morning. Turn over to 162. 162. Choir, won't you stand and help us sing out loud on this last one? We sang this here last night, and it's a song I'd forgotten about. It's a good one. 277. The Bible says, let the redeemed say so. 277.
Thank you.
Appreciate everybody being here today. Anybody got anything on your heart before we go any further in the service? That song says, I am redeemed. And as Brother Brad said, the Bible tells us, let the redeemed say so. And I ask that you would, from time to time, just let the world, let us, let somebody know that you've been saved. That's what that word redeemed means. Lord bless. Happy birthday in the Lord. Bless your heart. That's good to hear. Somebody else. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't think that you're hindering me or this service. Actually, you're not hindering. You are hindering the service by not doing what God says. He knows a lot better how to run this service than I do. Everybody, we're glad to see you here today. Appreciate our visitors once again. I will say this, if you hadn't visited with us in a while, you know we've had the boxes out there for the offering, and it was voted in our last business meeting to start taking up a collection once again. We thought it was well enough, and so we are doing both right now. If you put it in a box, that's fine, but just know those boxes are going away. I do want you to know that. Probably within the next few weeks, they will disappear. And hopefully no sickness will make them come back out again. That's what we are praying for. So do keep that in your minds also. Appreciate everybody being here today. I want us to all follow the Lord in this service. And like I said, if you have a testimony on your heart or something that needs to be said, you follow the Lord this day. As I say so many times, even if I'm done started reading, preaching, or whatever, if the Lord moves you, get up and follow the Lord. He's got a reason for it. So just follow the Lord. If nobody's got anything on your heart, turn to the 38th chapter of the book of Isaiah. 38th chapter of the book of Isaiah. You will find this account also in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter. And when I say that, going back to 2 Kings, if you know your Bible a little bit, you know that this is talking about the kings of Israel and Judah. And in this case, it's one of the kings of Judah that's going to be referred to here. And you know that whenever you read that 2 Kings, you've got, for lack of better words, you've got these good guys and then you've got these bad guys. The good guys followed the Lord and done what the Lord said. The bad guys over there, they led Israel, in some cases Judah, away from God. And that's always a bad idea when they do this. This particular king was a good guy. Probably one of the better kings after Solomon that there was. He did more for God than most of the others even thought about doing. And we're going to start a reading lesson today with the first verse. And we're talking about this king Hezekiah. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Israel the prophet, the son of Amoz, And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order. Sounds like a pretty good rule there, don't it? Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You ever got that kind of a warning? Well, you're all here today, so. But every once in a while you hear of somebody that gets a warning about they're fixing to die. But he says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And that's the reading, our reading lesson today. The first three verses of the 38th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And as I said, you can find this. It's a little different version of it. It has a little more details in 2 Kings if you'd like to read that later. But you'll notice a couple of things here. He gets a warning about he's fixing to die. Now, Hezekiah had been a good king. He had led the children of Judah, the kingdom of Judah, in the right ways. He'd done good all of his life in his ways of serving God. But God says, now you're going to die. I've asked this question, maybe here too, I think. What if you knew you was fixing to die? If a man of God came by and he said, all right, your time's up, you're fixing to die, what are you going to do? I'm not going to preach about that today as so much, but I want you to notice what Hezekiah did. Most of us, when we get sick, maybe it's a bad illness. Thank God I've never had anything like that to be so bad. But you see a lot of different reactions of people. And the way they react is usually it's just kind of like, oh, Lord, please heal me right now. Please do that. Then you get those people that I'm fixing to die. I'll just go ahead and go in peace is what I'll do. They give up right then. No, somebody gets a diagnosis of cancer, it's not that bad, but they're ready to lay down and die. And then you get those kinds of people that when they get that same kind of diagnosis, they're going to fight it tooth and toenail, as the old saying goes, with everything they've got, and they're going to continue to do. Now, Hezekiah, I believe the prophets of God are always right, and I believe the intention of God was at this time that Hezekiah should die. I'll also say this. If you read on more into the story, truthfully, Hezekiah had been better off if he did die. Now, you notice I said he'd been better off if he did die? You see, he started praying. How many of you, when you got sick, how many of you in a circumstance that was so rough, you did this? You started praying right then. If you hadn't got a death sentence from God, that's the best thing you can do. If you've got a sentence from God, what I'm saying, a sentence, it's a time of trouble. Some of you have had marital problems. How did you react to it? Best thing you can do is start praying. I got a phone call day before yesterday, I guess it was, and a lady, elderly lady, I'd only met her a couple of times, but she called me because she knew my television program. And she said, pray for me and my husband. We're having marital troubles. And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Y'all about to have been married 50 years or more. And I knew the circumstances a little bit, but I started praying for her. She wanted prayers from everybody. And that's the way you're supposed to do it, too. You're supposed to start talking to God. When you're in a time, maybe it's your family member sick, you need to start praying. If it's, like I said, a marital problem, you need to start praying. If you're in a time of temptation, you need to start praying. If it's a time of just a we'll say a good time, you need to start praying. You do. You need to start praying right then and there about the matter. Why in the good times? Because bad times are coming. You need to stay close to God. And I believe Hezekiah had stayed close to God. He had obeyed God. He'd done what God would have him to do. And he was close to God, so he knew the place to go when that this sentence came to him. You're going to die. Get everything in order. You've got just a little bit of time. It's time for you to die. Notice what Isaiah did, or what Hezekiah did. And he turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He got off in his closet. He got off in his closet, just him and the Lord. And then he said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I walked before thee in truth and in a perfect heart. Now we've gotten down to our message today. When you look at Isaiah's prayer right here, what do you see? Do you see a little bit of pride? Lord, I've been good. Lord, I've done what you said. Lord, I've been faithful to you. Lord, why now am I going to die? Now, we're going to talk about this, asking God to remember what we've done for a little bit here today. But the main thought that we have today, and this is what the Lord gave me the other night after, as we were teaching in our Bible study the other night. If you have not been coming to Bible study, I want to invite you to come. We've been learning about the seven churches of Asia. We've been seeing how that God was helping them, but we've also been seeing the sins of those churches. And the bad thing about it is, if we'll really open up our minds and our eyes to what is said there, we will see us in them. Well, what's wrong with that? Most of them, the Lord was rebuking them for what they'd done. Now, this past week, we talked about Sardis. That was the fifth church. I'm having fun here. The fifth church of the seven churches of Asia. And as you look at that church, what it says in that third verse is, remember now. Remember now. Let me go over and read it for you, if I can get the Bible to turn that away. He says, remember therefore now how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent, is what he tells them to do. He asks them to remember. Now, as I came across that other night, I'd read it a lot over the past week, but I looked at that, and as we were talking about it, and I thought, remember, that's got to come out in the next sermon. Remember, and that's what I want us to talk about. But it's different for what God was telling Sardis. He said, remember now what you've heard. Remember what you've been taught. Remembering these things. That was what he was telling them. Hezekiah was taking the other side of this. He said, remember now, Lord, what I did. Are you guilty at times of thinking, Lord, this is what I've done for God. Lord, this is what I did for you. Are we ever guilty of that? Mm-hmm. There's times we are guilty of saying, Lord, I've been good to you. I've been trying to serve you. Lord, I've been trying to be what you want me to be. Now, I want us to remember some things here today. This message is not going to be about us saying, remember now, Lord, all the time about what we've done. But I do want you to see some of the pitfalls of that very thing too. I want you to see the pitfalls of that, in that we need to remember God has helped us, been with us, used us at times. He was the one that brought forth the blessings. You'll remember in the First Corinthians, I believe it is, where that Paul, the people were arguing about who was the greatest, you might say, whether it was Paul's preaching or Apollos' preaching, and whose baptism maybe was best, is the way they were saying it. But the way Paul said, he said, I have planted, but Apollos watered. It was God that gave the increase. And that's what we need to remember. He said that it was for us to remember how God works. But we are guilty at times of thinking, well, Lord, I did this. Lord, I did that for you. Hezekiah was reminding God about his goodness. Now, I'm going to use something that I never thought of it in this way till I heard a message the other day and it used this, and my mind as I was studying, went back to this thought. And in the 15th chapter of Luke, if you look at that today, you remember the story of the prodigal son. And we always talk about the younger son that took his inheritance and he lived it with, spent it all with righteous living. We hear about how he came back to his father in a repentant way. But we hardly ever, maybe it's me, is what it is, we hardly ever talk about the other brother. We hardly ever do. But listen to what he said in that day. I've read it different times. But this man brought out something I'd never thought about. And when he said, you think about that elder brother. He says, in that day, when he came back, they was making merry for that younger brother's return. And he said, he wouldn't come in. But the father, it says, 28th verse. Let's start with 28th verse. And he was angry and would not go in thereof. Therefore, his father came out to him and entreated him. And what it says, and he answered and said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Now, you say, well, where are you going with this? He, like Hezekiah, Lord, I've been with you all this time. Your son got his inheritance, and he took it all, and he spent it. And now you killed that fat calf for him. You throw the party because he's come home. He said, you've done all of that. How many of us from time to time looks at the way the world is going? We see this fella driving around in a nice fancy car. We see these people with the big fine houses and we know how they live. I'm not saying we know all of them, but we may know some of them. And we say, Lord, why can that not be us? Lord, why can't we have these things that they have? I'm not a big proponent of fancy cars, although I've gotten where I'm bad to look at cars like Brother Lanny's. I looked at them. I like them old hot rods. It was a pickup truck at the game yesterday. Boy, that thing was sharp. And I look at that and I think, how nice that would be. But it's something that's temporary that was there. Listen to what this young man has said. Lord, I've stayed with you. I've kept your commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid. Not even a little baby goat to have a good meal with. To share with my friends and do all this. Look back at the start of the parable. When that young man had asked to have his inheritance, what does it say? It says in the 13th verse, or excuse me, the 12th verse, and when the young man said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me, and the father, it says, and he divided to who? Them. He got everything. Hey, I want to remind you something today. Do you remember when you got saved? You remember that blessing of knowing that you was the Son of God? Do you remember the thing that came to your mind that you now were the child of a king? And if you're a child of a king, do you not remember something here today? And that is this, that if you are a child of the king, you are his inheritance. You get his inheritance. What he had promised to you first and foremost was eternal life. What he promised to you was that you would live with him. What he promised to you was that you yourself would have a place in heaven with him. What John 14 says is, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, me personally, I don't have to have a mansion. If the Lord gives me a mansion, thank God for it. If I can get a little room somewhere, that's good enough for me. If I can get a little cabin, as the old song says, over in the corner of heaven. As long as I'm there, as long as I've got the inheritance that he has bestowed upon me, thank God for it. We forget sometimes God's done gave us the greatest blessings that there are. Yes, in this world we have cars, we have houses, and yes, there are those that has more than we have, but the fact of the matter is God has promised us even more than those things. But how many times, like Hezekiah, Lord, you gave them this, but he said, Lord, I would like to have these things. I want you to remember, it's not about what we have, it's about how God gets the blessings. But if we start to say, like Hezekiah, Lord, remember now how I have done this for you. Lord, remember now what these things that I did. Remember what the scripture said in the Sermon on the Mount, when the Lord said in the 22nd verse of the 7th chapter, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Hey, that's what the heathens do. That's what the unsaved do. Now, I realize that it sounds like I'm talking about us being ungrateful. I'm not. I just want you to remember where your blessings are. I want you to remember where these things. It's not about what we do, but what God did for us. That's what we need to remember today. I like the way that Moses put it in the book of Deuteronomy. And yes, he was talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, coming out of bondage, coming out of slavery in that day. Yes, I know that. That's what he's talking about. But remember, I tell you, Egypt is a picture of sin. That coming out of bondage, that's a picture of you being saved, brought out from the bondage of sin. Coming out through the wilderness, that's coming out through the lifestyle that you have. Going into the promised land, that's what God has promised you. Listen to what Moses said in the 15th chapter. He said, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. It's good for us to remember sometimes you were a sinner one time. You was. I was. We were sinners one time. And he says, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out. When we start to say, Lord, remember now what I, remember what the Lord did. You see, this sounds like that we're talking about us being selfish people. You know what humans are? Most time we are selfish beings. We think it's just us. Lord, it's what I've done. Yes, Lord, I know I did that. But the fact of the matter, it's what God did for us. And he wants us to remember what he did. Now, I also want you to get something out of this today in another way. And what we're remembering here, I want you to remember something else. Yes, God remembers what you did. You may give you proof of it. You see, when Brother Brad gets up here and sings, a lot of people would say, boy, that's a big thing that he gets up there and sings. And I'm sure Brother Brad looks at it, no, this is something I wish somebody else could do. But the fact of the matter is, it's something that God remembers that he does as leading the singing. When Sister Janice plays the piano, when anybody does one of those acts, when you come into the church on a given day, whether it's on a Wednesday, maybe you come over here on a Tuesday and you do something somewhat similar, we'll say, even in the groundwork. Maybe you've done some works out in the ground. Maybe you come into the church and you've done a little extra cleaning. Maybe you set the chairs up. Maybe you put the books in the holder. You know, God sees those things. God knows about them. Do you believe God is an all-knowing God? Bible tells us he is, doesn't it? God is a God that wants to, he knows what you're doing. Hezekiah didn't have to remind God, now, Lord, I did this. I want to give you just an idea of how simple some of these things are. You know, when we talk about praying for people, does God know when you pray? Answer is yes. Does he know what you pray for? The answer is yes. Does he answer your prayers? Yes. Now, let me give you a quick one right here in between. The Lord does not, just to give you a thought, the Lord does not always answer our prayers right then, does he? I heard a preacher say it this way, Lord answers three ways when it comes to prayers. Right then, but sometimes he says, no, we know that, don't we? And then sometimes he says, not right now. Have you had one of those answers? Not right now. I want you to see that God remembers those prayers. Probably one of the best examples that I found of this is Abraham. Now, I want you to know something. You remember when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? Yeah, they were destroyed by God because of their sin. You remember God gave Abraham warning about it. He went down and he had talked with Abraham there at their camp. He had provided food and a rest for the men that came there, and one of them was the Lord himself with the two angels of God, and he provided for them. I don't know if Abraham knew exactly who he was, but Abraham was serving them to the very best of his ability. But he got the idea of who he was when he said, you're going to have a child, is what he did. Now, moving along, when the Lord and the angels got ready to leave, he said, should I keep from my man Abraham that Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed? Abraham heard that, and he knew his nephew and his family was there. And he came unto the Lord is what it tells us there in that 18th chapter, he said. And what it says was that he entreated the Lord for them. And what he did, he came, Lord, would you destroy those cities if there's 50 righteous there? And he talks to the Lord about them. He was pleading with the Lord, don't destroy all those people, especially, I think he had in his mind, especially Lot and his family. The Lord said, no, I won't destroy it if there's 50 people there. He said, Lord, now wait a minute here. He said, if it's just five less, would you not spare it? And he said, no, I won't. I will spare it even for 40 and five. He said, Lord, what if it's 30? No, I won't destroy it. Lord, Abraham's getting bold. He said, Lord, if there's 20, would you spare it? He said, I won't destroy it for 20. Lord, 10, Lord, if there's just 10, will you spare it? He said, I will spare it if there's 10 there. Now, you know the rest of the story, how that the angels went in there. How many people left there? How many people survived Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible? Four left. Only three survived, though. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. Why did they get to leave? Well, I believe they were righteous in their souls. That's what I think more than anything else. But they was also willing to listen to the men of God that was there. And what they did, those angels, as the Bible calls them, took them by the hands and led them out of the cities. And you know that those cities were destroyed because of the wickedness of the place. But Lot, his two daughters, they survived is what happened. Why did they get to survive? I think God was reminded of their souls. I think he knew they was there. But I know today, when he looks at you today in this congregation, he knows who's saved, who's not. He looks at them and he separates us in the midst. But Abraham was requesting. what he says in the 19th verse, this is God really doing the talking. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of that great overthrow. You see, when you pray, God remembers your prayer. He didn't change it right. You know, God knew exactly how many was there when Abraham said 50. He knew there wasn't 45, and he knew there wasn't 40. He knew there wasn't 30. He knew that there was not even 10. But God remembered the prayers of Abraham. God remembers your prayers today. He knows what you prayed. If you prayed for your grandchildren, he knows that. If you prayed for your children, God knows you're praying for them. He may have not answered that prayer right now, but he is saying, I remember it. It's there. It's right here. And I've got them on my mind. He says, they've just got to turn to me. They've got to listen to me. They've got to come out of that place. They've got to come out of that bondage. And what he's saying today, God remembers your prayers. He knows your prayers. Let me give you another one right quick. If you turn to the book of Nehemiah, it's a pretty good sized little book, but what I want you to get out of that book is this. There was a man by the name of Nehemiah. He was nothing more than a cupbearer. He was a servant to the king, a king in that day. And basically, he was a man that got willing to go out, and he wanted to see his nation brought back to the state that it needed to be in. He went back. He built up the walls of Jerusalem. He was part of the work that got the worship back where it needed to be. He helped in the refurbishing of the temple. He was there when that they started worshiping God through the temple there in Jerusalem. He started doing all of that work. He did many things. And like Nehemiah, he had done a lot of works for God. I'm going to give you a verse here. Turn over to the 13th chapter and the 14th verse. He just said, remember me, O Lord. He said, remember me, O Lord, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds. Do you have any good deeds? You're here today, that's a good deed. Did you pray for your pastor? That's a good deed. Did you pray for brother or sister so-and-so? That's a good deed. Did you stand up for the Lord today in some way? That's a good deed. Did you hold the ground of the Word of God? Did you hold that place fast today? That's a good deed. But he says, Lord, don't let those things be wiped out. How do we allow our good deeds to be wiped out? I'm going to ask you that today. There's all numbers of ways of wiping out good deeds. There used to be an old teacher at Pleasant Shade, and Paula always will bring this up because she was under him more so than I was. But he says it only takes a minute to wipe out a good name. You see, we have a good name brought up and we wipe it out a lot of times by an action that we may do. Something sinful, a bad decision at a certain moment. Maybe it's something that we think nobody else will know, but somebody finds out. Maybe it's something as careless as just saying the wrong word at the wrong time. We need to pray for strength. When we remember our good deeds, when maybe we're at the point of like Hezekiah, and I want you to know something. This is something that I fight daily. It is. Because the devil will come to me, look what you did. Look at that sermon you preached. Listen to that person being blessed. Listen to how that person loves you because you're preaching this. Listen to, and I'm thinking, oh, well, that's pretty good. Wait a minute. I deal with it too. I fight him. I have to. Let me give you one, and I'm going to quote your former pastor. Brother Kenneth Massey said this one time to a bunch of preachers one time. And he said, you can't look at people just stupid as an old goat or something like that. That wasn't his words. That's my words there. He said, when somebody comes up to you and tells you how good you did preaching, you can't look at them just like you're dumb or something like that. He said, you've got to have an answer. Now, I always thank you for your compliments, and I do. I appreciate every compliment you do. He said, if I can quote him exactly, and I probably can't. He said, if I've done anything good, it's of the Lord. But if there's anything I've done that was wrong, if I said anything wrong, he says, it's all on me. I took that to heart. Now, I don't use his same verbiage, but I want you to know something. When you compliment me on something I do, what I try to do is thank you for your compliment. And I may not say it out loud. A lot of times I do. I'll say, just give the honor to the Lord because it's Him. Now, I don't mean to be tooting my horn, but I want to give you an example. You see, the example that I want you to see is you are setting examples for others. When you heard what Hezekiah said right there, Lord, remember what I did for you. If somebody, if your child told you that, or some, one of your best, don't you remember what I did for you? How did that go over right at that moment? Somebody said, not well. But when we remember what little we do, and I want you to know something. You did a lot. You have. You've done a lot. You've done a lot more than the people passing up and down the road today. You did. You've done a lot more than them. When you prayed, you done a lot. When you witnessed to these that are lost, you done a lot. When you brought your children into this church house, you done a lot. And I glorify you for that in God's name. I want you to know that. That's in God's name. But you did a lot today. You're setting the example by bringing that baby into the house of God. Yes, she don't know it now, but she will. You see, later on they'll be this size right here. And they'll come to the time when that the Lord saves our soul. And there'll be a thought in their mind that will say, thank God I came to church. Maybe there was times I didn't want to go, but Mom and Daddy made sure I was in church. You did a lot. And we don't have to remind God what we did. He's got it on record already. He knows everything that we do. But the best thing we can do is remember, He's already gave us everything. He's already made us the child of the King. Oh, we may not see it as being in heaven already as far as our inheritance is concerned, but it's just as sure as if you was already there because He's done divided it unto you. That's what the Father did, didn't He? It's just up to us to keep on keeping on, as I'll say. Well, that's going to be my message today, Brother Brad. I'm going to say it this way today. The Lord knows your works. I hope you find this message encouraging. I think that's what the Lord intended for it to be. Remember now what I've done. Yeah, remember what you've done. Give the glory to God in all of that. But I want you to know God knows it and He appreciates it. He wants you to continue on. He wants you to get better at it in every way. You remember when your kids was little? Do you remember kids when a teacher come by? Maybe you was doing just a little simple coloring book. You know, every one of us colored at one time where we just took the color and went like that right there over the whole picture. Oh, that was so pretty, wasn't it? Is that what you told them? Is that what the teacher told you? Yeah, it'd look better if you'd stay in the lines, though. And then you wouldn't get out of the lines a little bit as much. Oh, that's pretty right there. You see, that's the way God's looking at you today. Staying in the lines is what He wants you to do. Now, how about today? Have you stayed in the lines like you're supposed to? Hey, was you supposed to talk for the Lord earlier? Make a prayer request? Thank the Lord for being saved? Being like Sister Janice when she said, my birthday and the Lord's today? Boy, maybe you're supposed to do something like that. Did you stay in the lines? I'm given an opportunity today. You can join the church if you need to. Sinners can come and seek the Lord today if you need to. You see, that invitation is there for you today to get in the lines, to make that picture so more beautiful like the Lord wants you to do. You say, well, what's joining church? What's going to the altar? What's that got to do? Hey, by the way, that altar is not just for the sinners to come and pray. You ever feel like you're supposed to go up there and pray? Maybe during the service? All people will say, yeah. What are they up there for? What did they do? Don't worry about them. God knows what you're there for. God knows what you're there for. Now, this is my message today, and I know I've kind of digressed a little bit, but I want you to remember, when you remember what you did for the Lord, God knows it. He knows it already. We don't have to call it to His attention. Just go ahead and do for Him as He wants you to. While we sing, I'll usher.
Would you stand? Favorite gospel songs? 284, 284 at the top of the page.